Memories One.
Of all the duties foisted on mid-ranking family members, Aristocra Mithurphianico thought sourly as he strode down the senior school hallway, recruitment was one of the worst. It was boring, involved way too much travel, and more often than not was a waste of time. Here on Rentor, physically close to Chila, yet paradoxically in the backwater of the Chiss Ascendancy, he had no doubt what the outcome of the trip would be. Still, when a general, even a newly minted one, said he had a promising recruit, it was incumbent on the family to at least check it out. General Bakhief was waiting in the assembly overlook balcony when the Aristocra arrived. The expression on the general's face was one of controlled eagerness. The face itself was far too young to be attached to a field grade officer, but then that was what family connections were for. Bakhief's eyes lit up as he spotted his visitor.
"Aristocra Mithurphianico?" he asked.
"I am he, General Bakhief."
"I am he."
And with that formality over, they could move on to the far less awkward use of titles and core names.
"So, where is this student you thought was worth my flying halfway across the planet for?"
Thurfian asked.
"Down there,"
Bakhief said, pointing at the lines of students reciting the morning vows.
"Third row back on the right."
So he was a line leader. Impressive, but only mildly so.
"Name?"
"Kivu Ranuru."
Kivu? Not a family Thurfian was familiar with.
"And?"
he prompted as he pulled out his questus and keyed in the family name.
"And his grades, aptitude, and logic matrix are off the boards," Bakhief said. "Makes him a prime candidate for the Teharim Academy on Naporar."
Thurfian said, peering at the record. Kivu was about as obscure a family as the Chiss Ascendancy had ever spawned. No wonder he'd never heard of them.
"And you contacted us, why?"
"Because the myths still have 2 appointment slots left for this year," Bakhief said. "If you don't bring Voran in, he won't have another chance until next year."
"Would that be such a catastrophe?"
Bakhief's face hardened.
"Yes, I believe it would," he said, offering his own questus. "Here's his school record."
Thurfian pursed his lips as he scrolled down the screen. He'd seen better, but not very often.
"I don't see any indication that his family has prepped him for military service."
"No, they haven't," Bakhief confirmed. "It's a smaller family without the resources or access the myth have for such things."
"If they thought he was so exceptional, they should have found or made the resources,"
Thurfian said tartly.
"So you think the myth should step to the front and just welcome him with no questions asked?"
"Ask all the questions you like," Bakhief said. "I've arranged for him to be pulled out of first class for an interview."
Thurfian smiled tightly.
"Are the Aristocra that predictable?"
"The Aristocra, no,"
Bakhief matched Thurfian's smile.
"But their rivalries are."
"I imagine so,"
Thurfian conceded, lowering his eyes again to Voron's records. If the boy lived up to even half of his potential, he would be a worthy addition to the Myth family. Once, thousands of years ago, families had been just that. Groups of people bound by blood and marriage, and closed to everyone else. But the inherent limitations of such a system had led to decline and stratification, and some of the patriarchs had begun experimenting with methods for absorbing outsiders that didn't involve marriage. The result had been the current system, where likely prospects could be brought in as merit adoptives, with those who proved themselves especially worthy rising to trial born and possibly even ranking distant. Vuron certainly fit the criteria for becoming a merit adoptive. More important, if the myth took him, the Arisi wouldn't be able to snatch him up. One of the many family rivalries Bakif was no doubt thinking of when he spoke of predictability. But even that was beside the point. The Sindicure had finally agreed to the Defense Force's long-standing pleas to expand its capabilities and mandate, and the newly formed Expansionary Defense Fleet was the result. Its mission was to watch over Chiss interests in parts of the Chaos extending beyond the Ascendancy's borders, to learn who was out there and assess their level of threat. And for once, the Aristocra had actually been generous with their military funding. The Expansionary Fleet's new ships, bases, and support facilities were already under construction, and they were going to need all the competent officers and warriors they could get. This Vuron looked like someone who would fit into such a role, a man who might make a name there, both for himself and for his family.
"Fine," he said. "Let's go talk to him. See how he stands up to a proper interrogation."
"I trust the compound isn't too far away,"
Vuron said, as Thurfian's car flew swiftly across the Rentor landscape.
"I'm already missing all of today's classes. My instructors would be displeased if I missed tomorrow's as well."
"You'll be all right,"
Thurfian said, hearing the strained patience in his voice. Did the boy really not understand the depth of the honor that had been bestowed upon him? Apparently not. Attending his classes was important. Adoption into one of the 9 ruling families wasn't. Rentor wasn't exactly a political and cultural hub, and Thurfian knew he had to make allowances for a certain degree of ignorance. Even so, such a lack of awareness set Vuron apart from even the unsophisticated commoners around him. Still, if Bakif's assessment was correct, the boy would be heading for a military career. Politics weren't nearly so important there. If Vuron was rematched to the myth, which was hardly yet guaranteed, Thurfian had sent in his own report, but there was still an interview to be conducted by the counselors who oversaw myth interests on Rentor, followed, possibly, by a short meeting with the local Patriel herself, if the counselors were suitably impressed. Once all that was over, the results would be forwarded to the homestead on Chila for final review, and only then would Vuron learn whether or not he'd been selected to be a myth merit adoptive. The whole process typically took 2 to 3 months. Thurfian had seen it take as many as 6. His Questus signaled. Pulling it from his pocket, he keyed it. It was a script message. A very brief script message. Vuron accepted as merit adoptive. Thurfian stared. Accepted? Impossible. The interviews, the Patriel evaluation, the homestead review. But there it was, staring him in the face. The process had been short-circuited by someone, and none of the usual procedures were going to matter. In fact, none of them were now even necessary. Presumably the Patriel had received the same message, and the only thing that would happen when they reached the compound would be the brief ceremony detaching Vuron from the Kivu family and rematching him to the myth.
"Is there trouble?"
Vuron asked.
"No, nothing,"
Thurfian said, putting the Questus back into his pocket. So on the strength of Thurfian's own interrogation, plus perhaps the boy's school records and evaluations, he was accepted? That made no sense. Impressive though the boy might be, there still had to be more to it. Clearly, someone high up in the family had been keeping watch on Thurfian's mission today.
That same someone had apparently also been following Vuron's life, and had already decided that taking him was in the myth's best interests. So if the decision had already been made, why had Thurfinn been sent to do an interview in the first place? Surely his recommendation didn't hold that much weight with the homestead. Of course it didn't. Thurfinn had been sent here to help cover the fact that Vuron had already been selected for rematching. Pure politics. Because with the Nine Families, it was always about politics. He frowned, his thoughts belatedly catching up with him. He hadn't reacted in any way when he received the message. He'd been an aristocrat and political creature long enough to know how to keep emotions like surprise out of his face and voice. Yet, somehow Vuron had recognized that the message had been disturbing enough to inquire about it. He eyed the boy again. That kind of observational skill wasn't common. Maybe there was more than he'd realized. Some spark that would someday bring honor and glory to himself and his family. Apparently someone at the homestead thought so too, and that someone had determined that the family on the receiving end of that glory would be the myth. There was still the question of whether or not the boy would be sent to the Teharim Academy, but with Vuron's unidentified benefactor pulling the strings, Thurfinn expected that would also be a foregone conclusion. He scowled at the landscape racing past beneath them. He didn't like being manipulated. He very much didn't like proper and time-honored procedures being thrown out the window on someone's whim. But he was an aristocrat of the myth, and it wasn't his job to approve or disapprove of his family's decisions. His job was merely to do the tasks he was given. Perhaps someday that would change.
No, no trouble, he said. I just received word that you've been accepted.
Vuron turned widened eyes on him.
Already?
Yes,
Thurfinn confirmed, secretly enjoying the other's confusion. So he could be surprised. And at least he knew enough politics to recognize the unusual nature of the situation.
We'll presumably go through the ceremony when we reach the compound.
As a marriage adoptive, I assume.
So the kid also knew something about the ruling families.
That's where everyone starts,
Thurfinn told him.
If and when you go through the trials, you'll move up to Trialborn.
And then, ranking distance,
Vuron said thoughtfully. Thurfinn huffed out a silent breath. That, at least, would never happen. Not to someone from such an insignificant family.
Perhaps. For now, just start getting used to the name Myth Ronduru.
Yes,
the boy murmured. Thurfinn studied him out of the corner of his eye. The boy might bring glory to the myth, the way Bakif thought. He might just as easily bring shame and regret. That was how the universe operated. But either way, it was done. Vuron was no more. In his place now stood Thrawn.